In the same way that there's quite a bit written about Reb Chaim Volozhin, similarly, there's a sefer called Toldos Odom. The sefer Toldos Odom is a biography of Reb Chaim Volozhin's brother, who is known as Reb Zalman of Volozhin. And in that sefer, you can imagine, his brother Reb Chaim is also quoted. And it's mentioned that Reb Chaim talks about his brother. Here's a brother actually praising his own brother and saying that my brother, he says, which Reb Zalmala, Reb Chaim is quoted, says has the features of a malach. If you look at his face, you can see the kedusha of my brother Reb Zalman is like a malach. And he likened it that the features of his brother Reb Zalman is doyim to the shagis aryeh. Because in the opening shiurim, in the beginning when we started, Reb Chaim mentioned that before being a Talmud of the Goyin, Reb Chaim Volozhin was a Talmud of the Shagis Aryeh in his younger years, in his early teens. And that impression did not leave him either, although ultimately his main Rebbe was the Goyin, the Vilna Goyin. But nevertheless, what he had absorbed from the Shagis Aryeh always remained with him as well. Did not lose that. So he talks about his brother, that Reb Zalman, about the greatness of his brother, that the features of his face is daimah, similar to a malach, to an angel. Like the Shagis Aryeh, like my Rebbe said, like the Shagis Aryeh was. And Reb Chaim's Talmidim basically would record at least two comments that he first heard from the Shagis Aryeh. And he points out that the same comments later he heard also from the Vilna Goyin as well. As to show that many times you find Gedol Yisrael, you know, from different parts of the world, so to speak, and nevertheless they're mechaven to the same idea. So it's kedai to mention that that the awe in which Reb Chaim held his first Rebbe, which is also the Shagis Aryeh, was the fact that bederech klal he would be unwilling to veer from the view in Piske Halacha. Many times there are many different opinions regarding how to paskin. You have one poskim paskin this way and another great poskim different. Reb Chaim Bederech Klal would follow the psak of the Shagis Aryeh. And it just turns out that way before Reb Chaim became Rav Volozhin, his Rebbe, the Shagis Aryeh, was also Rav Volozhin. Later, subsequently, Shagis Aryeh becomes the Rav in Metz, and that, by the way, was Kaveris to this day. And after to succeed the Shagis Aryeh Metz, who came there, came the Pnei Yeshua. Great Pnei Yeshua. It was also Rav in Metz. Pnei Yeshua moved on from there. Came later on to Frankfurt. And subsequently, after the Pnei Yeshua, who succeeded the Pnei Yeshua in Metz again? So succeeding the Pnei Yeshua in Metz was Rabbi Yosef Eibschitz. It was also in Metz. Many drushes. Rabbi Yosef Eibschitz, actually drushes that he held, and they held were in Metz. Although the Sefer Shi'ar Zavash, which is basically the authoritative Sefer, the textbook Sefer of the drushes of Rabbi Yosef Eibschitz, most of the drushes are actually in Prague, because he was a Rosh HaDarshanim in Prague. But nevertheless, Rabbi Eibschitz, he was a Darshan, all the time. But in Metz, he was actually the Yad Bezin. He was the chief rabbi there of Metz. There is a known dispute in Halacha, for example, between the Beis Yosef and Ramo, which is between Ashkenazim and Sfardim, regarding a certain wound in the lung. Particular wound in the lung, whether it renders the animal to be treifa. The lung is one of the areas that, to this day, that after you shecht, we check the lung to make sure that there's no perforations, no holes in it. Because it's very common that the lung should be affected. If the lung of an animal should become affected in the wrong way, it renders the animal treifa. So therefore, it's commonplace all over that we check the lungs. Now, there's certain particular situations which are controversial. Some opinions say it's no problem, and some say it is a problem. So the particular wound in the lung, where there's an issue between the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, with the Beis Yosef, Lamaisa Paskins, that it's okay to be lenient, and the almost universal practice by Ashkenazim in that particular area is basically to be strict, to be machmer. So, interesting thing is, when the Shagis Aryeh actually was in Volozhin, he had shoulders broad enough to argue against the Ramah, and he took the opinion of the Sfardim, the opinion of the Beis Yosef. And he paskin that particular Shaila, so you can imagine in Volozhin when the Shagis Aryeh was Rav, and that Shaila came up, regarding that particular wound in the lung, so we developed their cloud with paskin that is strafe. Shagis Aryeh said, no, it's kosher. He took the opinion of the Bishayser. Again, he had broad enough shoulders to be able to take it upon himself to patskin like the Bishayser against the Ashkenazic Pshak, those who are Ashkenazim, to follow the Pshak of the Ramah. After the Shagisarya leaves Volozhin, so now the halachic rulings were actually referred to a great guy named Rebbefal Hamburger, Rebbefal HaKoyen Hamburger. Rebbefal Hamburger is called Rebbefal Hamburger because ultimately his rabbonus was in Hamburg. His rabbonus in Hamburg, where after that came Rebbeinu Sanaipschitz. So you had Rebbefal Hamburger, and to this day, anybody who visits the old Beis HaChaim in Hamburg, you'll see Rabbi Yankiv Emden, of course, and you're going to see Rabbi Yosef Naipschitz, you're going to see the caver of Rebbefal Hamburger. Matter of fact, the Chofetz Chaim, the Sefer Shmiras Haloshen, brings down one of the particular feature of tzidkis of Rebbefal Hamburger. Chofetz Chaim picks this particular tzidkis because Chofetz Chaim is in a gay bedover when it comes to Shmiras Haloshen. So he points out this particular feature of tzidkis. Rebbefal Hamburger, before he passed away, somewhat like a year or two before he passed away, he resigned from the Rabbonus. Because why? Because he felt that being a Rav, what happens is, with their cloud, people come with complaints. This balabos has a sichsuch with another balabos, and many times just it involves the lashon hara. Now, if it's important about it, you have to hear situations when there are issues between Adam and Chaveroi, but something that goes out of hand, and things are being said which is not even the gate to the situation. A gaburcha, you throw in a lot of other information that's not even necessary, and he felt if the time comes for him to leave this world, he wants to leave this world, he says, with a clean slate, being very extra careful in lashon hara, he doesn't want to be a rov. So this is Chofetz Chaim points out that tzidkis of Rebbefal Hamburger that a few years before he passed away, he resigned from the position. He wrote a sefer, among others, Shal Sechuv is Vishav HaKoyin. He was a Koyin. So prior to that, he was in Volozhin. And he, when he was in Volozhin, he did not paskin like the Shagazari. He paskin like the Ashkenazim. If the wound in the lung, this particular wound, he paskin treif. Now, 10 years later, interesting, the Shagisaya returns to Volozhin, and the question arose again. So now in the meantime, Rebbefal had left to Germany, as mentioned. The Shagisaya again reiterated the previous ruling. So Volozhin went bouncing back and forth regarding the particular Shaila. Depend who was Rav at the time, under whose tenure. Shagisaya was Rav, he paskin its kosher, and whoever else was Rav, but they're called with paskin like Ramah, which is the psak of the Minig Ashkenaz. Interesting thing is that after finally when Rav Chaim had become the Rav of Volozhin, which although he was, as mentioned, he was the Talmud of the Shagisarya, but the Maisa, he didn't feel he wants to be Mekel, and he followed the world's Psak, the universal Psak of the Ashkenazim, in fact, to be Machmer. However, that was only out of town. In other words, if he'd be in Volozhin itself, he'd pass like Shagisarya. He would not. Being in Asra Demar, the place it says where my Rebbe was Rav in Volozhin, my Rebbe passing that it's kosher, he would also pass in kosher. But if he was asked the Shaila, if he'd be in a different town, they asked him the Shaila came up in a different town, they shechted an animal in a different town, and he was there, he'd say, treif. The exact same Shaila, if it would be in Volozhin, he passed like the Shagisari. Shagisari passed because he was a Rebbe. So in Volozhin itself, he wouldn't do different than the Shagisari. He'd passed that, it is mutter. They said a Maisa, this Maisa, actually Shmari Shulman once reiterated, but the difference is in this Maisa actually who told this Maisa. He said it in the name of Shlomo HaKoyen of Vilna, who related this, was a great goyim, and mentioned that regarding a particular person who had actually an illness. What was his illness? They had a particular wound in his lung. And the doctors basically diagnosed it and said, this wound that you have in the lung is something that you can't really survive too long. If someone is an animal that's treif cannot survive Yud Beis Chodesh, cannot survive a year. That's the general interpretation of treif. It can't survive a year. Well, the doctor diagnoses this person, sees he has the wound in the lung, and he says to him, you know what, it's a very serious situation. We have no refuah, there's no refuah for this. And you can expect sooner or later you get your house in order. So Shlomo HaKoyen says is that came to an Odom Godel, and that was at the time they asked the Shagisarya. The Shagisarya says, listen, go to Volozhin. I paskin, he says, like the Beis Yosef, that this is not a wound that's treifa, and the man lived to 120. That's the Koich HaTorah. In Volozhin, this is not a serious wound. There we paskin like the Beis Yosef. So here you see Rabbi Sai, here you see a little bit of the Koyach HaTorah. Okay, So we're going to move here to the Nefesh HaChaim, and we are here in your edition. It's in Dav Chof Zayin, the paragraph that starts Avol Al Kol Ponim. It starts Avol Al Kol Ponim. The Chaim Volozhin here again. This is in the middle of a particular, you know, essay here of Chaim in Ruach Chaim. And he's trying, actually, Reb Chaim didn't get there yet. But this whole idea, if you see, this is, it's Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph. So Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph, what he's going to try, and now we're going to read the conclusion of this, what he's trying to say. But Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph, actually, when it starts the Perek in the Ruach Chaim, for some reason they did not print out, like with an etc., they did not print out exactly, you know, the full necessary words of the Mishnah. So I have it printed out. If you look at the sheet, just mind for a second, just open up the first item on the sheet, and you'll tackle, everybody recognizes this from Pirkei Avos, because that's actually what Reb Chaim is talking about, and yet it's not printed as a heading in the Ruach Chaim. So what we're talking about is, if you take a look, the first item of his Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph, Hey Mamru Shloisha Devarim, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the great sages of the great assembly, they said three things. What are the three things? Number one, they said, have a mesunim badin. If you're a dayin, you're a bezin, even though you might think you know the answer, you know what? Take it easy. Be patient. Look into it. Review it. Before you offer an answer, don't be quick. Don't be hasty to answer. Have a mesunim badin. Take your time and be patient when it comes to judging. And to paskan aloha. That's number one. The second thing they said, the amidu tamidim harbe. Make sure, he said, that what? That you produce a lot of Talmidim. In other words, it's not enough that you want Torah for yourself, but actually you should share your Torah and see to be Mami Talmidim Harbe, to produce a lot of Talmidim. And the third thing they said, Va'asu Siyoglu Torah. See to it that you make a fence surrounding the Torah. In other words, you can imagine that a person, right, there's a cliff. At the end of the cliff, you know, if you fall off, it's the end. Now everybody who is a badass, somebody about seichel, understands you're not going to walk to the edge of the cliff, even though technically to the end of the cliff you could live. But you know that it's very dangerous. If you walk to the end of the cliff, anything might happen, you slip. When it comes to the Torah, you don't stretch and be lenient all the way to the end of the gvul. Because when you go to the end of the cliff, once you might cross the line, you get into an instant, if you have to make a fence. You make a gather. Means you stop a little bit before to make sure that what, that you're not going to be over, you're not going to transgress on the mitzvah satoyim. You don't go to the end. Just because you're allowed to do something doesn't mean that you go all the way to the end, because you may just go over the cliff if you go mamish to the end. So they said, Asus Yogutoy, make a fence. Which means you stop a little earlier, ahead of time, in order to make sure that what? That you don't transgress the Torah. These are the three things. So now we go to Reb Chaim here. Reb Chaim here is being mamshich. He continues. What did Reb Chaim basically say before? Reb Chaim was talking about before the relationship between Yir Shemayim and between Torah. It's not possible that a person should be really a Talmud Chacham if he does not have Yir Shemayim. Yir Shemayim is essential. And the Moshel we might have mentioned a number of times, which I heard it from the Knight Reuv, who heard it from his brother-in-law, Colbert Weissmandel, who basically spent a lot of time in Oxford, in England. And as we mentioned, that he was a big bucky in Kisveyad, in manuscripts, a very big expert. And all the great professors, you know, in Oxford that had many manuscripts, and the name of the author, whether it was a Rashba or Ritva, was not mentioned. So they, in their so-called scholarship, so therefore labeled, this is the Ksaviyad, this is the manuscript of this Rishon, this and this. Rabbi Colbert really was, in fact, an Emes Gebokhi. He really understood. Rishonim, different Rishonim have a different style. The Rashba has a different style of writing. The Ritva has a different style. The Rosh has a different style. He knew it, and he corrected them. He showed them, no, it's mislabeled. This is not a Rana, this is not a Ritva, and so on and so forth. But when he came back, what he said was, talking about Goyish scholarship, you see that they don't really know much, but I found a galach over there, a priest who knew Gan Shas, all of Shas. However, he's not a Talmud Chacham. That's what he always used to say. But that's not Talmud Chacham. He's a galach. Talmud Chacham, it means, yeah, what? You have to hear Shemayim as well. He learns Torah like you learn mathematics, like you learn like in medicine, like you study biology, whatever it is. So that's not a Talmud Chacham. You learn Torah, that's according to Baruch Hu's Torah. So you need your Shemayim. However, Chaim said, Yerushamayim, the relation between Torah and Yerushamayim, because the Pesuk says, Yiras Hashem hi Yitzoroi. The Yiras Hashem is the Yitzor, that is the storage house. Imagine if you have a storage house, but it's empty. So what good is it? What good is the storage house? It doesn't have any value. Yerushalayim has value if you put Torah into it. In other words, to be just a Yerushalayim without Torah, Reb Chaim says, you also missed the point. You also missed the point. I find it's important to be Yerushalayim, at least be Yerushalayim. But you realize that if that's all that you are, you really missed the point. The Avodah, the other of it, Yerushalayim should be measured in relation to the amount, vast amount of Torah that a person should have. So Yerushalayim is the oitzer, Yerushalayim is the storage house, but that storage house cannot be empty. If it's Yerushalayim without Torah, it's an empty storage house. So he goes on to say, Aval koponim, nevertheless, even though Yerushalayim is important, but however he says, Ikar hiya Torah, but the main thing is the Torah. Vayira hirakwa oitzer, and Yira is only the storage house. Hepecha oimrim is the opposite of those who say Ko'ikar hi ayira. There are those who say that the main thing is Yerushalayim. Torah is secondary. As a matter of fact, there were those, Chaim says, there were people who used to mock Umalikim aloim de Torah. They used to mock those people who study Torah because he's saying they're not studying Torah lishma. In other words, there are certain people that say that Torah study only has a merit if you study it on the highest level of holiness, the Shem Shemayim, for the sake of heaven. But if you study Torah for any other alternative reason, then that Torah doesn't have a chashiv, it doesn't have an importance. Reb Chaim making a big mistake. Certainly Torah lishma, that is the goal, that is the highest level of learning. But any which way you learn Torah, Reb Chaim has a tremendous, tremendous chashivus in Shemayim, he says. Therefore, not like those who laugh and they mock Alom de Torah, umevazen oisam. As a matter of fact, they even embarrass and they shame them, because they say that, what kind of Torah are you learning? Shalom ishlo lishma. Falakai umevazen oisoy. And therefore, they are embarrassing that person. So Reb Chaim, that's a big mistake. It's a terrible mistake. Rabbi Seinu, the Chorin of Roch Omru, our Chazal have said, Mesechta Shabbos, in other words, we say in the Hadar, when you finish a Masechta, we say, Oirich Yomim B'Yemino, the Torah confers Arichas Yomim, personal Torah, so this goal of Torah is to give you long life, but it says, Arichas Yomim on the right side. On the left side is Oishu V'Kovit. Now what does it mean? What does it mean, Arichas Yomim on the right side? And on the left side, so the Gemara says like this, if you learn Torah Lishma, for the sake of heaven, L'Sem Shemayim, that kind of Torah will give you Arichas Yomim. Bismoilah, if you learn Torah, which is on the left meaning it's not L'Shem Shemayim, that's called Torah Bismoil, but you still have a school of getting Oishu V'Kovoid. So you see that a person who learns Torah, even if it's not L'Shma, he learned Torah on the level of Smoil, it's called on the left. It's not L'Shma, but Oishu V'Kovoid. The Torah will grant you Oishu V'Kovoid. So Koponim V'Koponim, so we see that Kovoid Magi Aloi. So we see that he deserves honor for this fact that he's learning Torah, even though it might not be the highest level of Kedusha, he's not learning Torah Lishma, but Torah even on another level, on a secondary level, V'Kovoidoi U'Kovod HaTorah. And that Kovod is Kovod HaTorah, even though he is not learning Torah Lishma. And therefore, lo yifresh memenu, he should not stop learning. In other words, he should not be affected by those who mock him and say, your learning isn't worth much because you're not learning Torah Lishma. No, says Reb Chaim. Lo yifresh memenu. As a matter of fact, just keep learning any way you are, and at the end, the Torah will bring you closer and closer. Metorach shaloi lishma, bo lishma. Starting first, you're going to be learning on the lower level, not l'shem shemayim, right? Not l'shem. But at the end of the day is, you're going to come closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then you are going to learn Torah L'Shem Shemayim. V'soif ha-moyer shebo, the light of Torah. The light of Torah that you're going to be learning, Machziroi, he says, is going to be Machzel Mutif. Is going to bring the person back, right, to turn to the best way, U'mitorach shelo lishma. The fact that he's learning Torah, he starts out learning Torah shelo lishma, not L'Shem Shemayim, not for the sake of heaven, bo lishma. So in that case, so the bottom line is, al koponim, shneihem muchrochim liyodom. The fact is, a person has to have two things, Torah v'yira. Except, the relationship between the two, it's not equal. You have to have both, but the relationship is not the same. Rak yira hi bedimyan, the amount of yira shemayim has to be, right, has to be bedoyme, has to be similar to an oitzer, to a storage house, shehu binyan bedovra muet. Right? It's that the binyan is uboy menachim, that in that binyan you have ginzei oisrois bekesef mole. You have tremendous treasures of silver, v'hoin rav. right? And a fortune, tremendous fortune. So too, Keno Oyser Srichalias Yoiser, Hatoyra Srichalias Yoiser Mahayira. So says Reb Chaim. Now, if that's the case, so going back now, he wants to explain the Mishnah that we started. Again, the Mishnah says, the Shloisha Devarim, that Chekhnezel said. They said, have a Mesulim Badin, make sure that what? That you're not quick, you're not hasty when it comes to judge, to Paskan Aloha. Take your time, review it. The other thing that he said was, Hamidu Talmidim Habe, produce Talmidim, teach Torah to others. And the last thing that he mentioned, the third thing was, Asu Siyoglu Torah. Make a fence for the Torah to make sure that what? You don't go over. You don't do the wrong thing. So a person therefore should be machmer on themselves. Not everything that's mutter you have to do. Because one thing might just lead to another, a slippery slope, and then actually be doing an iser. So therefore, you have to stop a little ahead, stop earlier. Now, so B'chaim says, explain these things, all, everything has to do with in relation to Torah and your Shemayim. These three things. And this is how he explains it. Vinesh says, yes, he said, the truth is, Gimel Pituya HaYetzer. There are three ways that the Yetzer Hara tries to entice you and tries to seduce a person. The Yetzer Hara, of course, tries to destroy a person spiritually. But he tries three ways. Obviously, the first thing, if he's capable, is to try to prevent the person from learning Torah, B'chlau. Aleph, one way that the Yetzer Hara tries, Shaloi Lilmoid, that's what he tries to do. The Yetzer Hara, the Avodah Yetzer Hara is to try to impress upon a person and to prevent him, to tear him away from learning. That's one thing. Now, obviously, to certain people, it's not as successful. Certain people can't go to a Magid Shir and say, you know what? To start to work at a Magid Shir, you shouldn't learn. Sometimes a Magid Shir says Shiurim all day. So what does he do with him? Okay, learn, but learn without Yir Shemayim. Again, to take away the quality of his learning. The first thing is, if he's capable, he would love to be successful in stopping you from learning altogether. Don't have a Shir at all. Don't learn. Second, if he's not able to do that, well, at least, okay, learn, but learn without Yir Shemayim. That's base. Basically, the second thing that the Yetzer Hara would try is if he does not have the ability, right, to entice a person not to learn, therefore he tries to seduce him, because then, imagine if somebody has a lot of grain, but he has no place to put it. He leaves it out in the open. You know what happens is? It becomes open, therefore it becomes affected by the elements, it's destroyed. Tavua, that is not protected, will not have a kiyum. Torah, if it's not protected, if it's not in the oyser, will not have a kiyum. What is the oyser of Torah? Yerushimayim. So therefore the sotan, if you can't stop a person from learning, what he'll try to do is, learn, but learn without Yerushimayim. Learn Torah as if it's a secular chokhmah. Learn it, scholarship. If you have Torah without Yira, is having Torah that's not protected, like having Tua, which is not in an oyser. And the Mela will have a kiyum anyway. It won't last long. Gimel. The third thing is, he's going to out from him. He's going to tell him, you know, your Shemaim is so important. Learn Musar all day and don't learn Torah. So maybe successful. Maybe keep saying this to someone. Say, oh, look, be a big tzaddik. Work on yourself to be a great tzaddik. And he says to him, Yefatuhu Sheptomid Yasik Bebinyon Ha'oyser. Keep building that oyser. That's your Shemaim, is the Binyon Ha'oyser. Be a rake below Torah. And it'll be empty without any Torah. So corresponding to these three things that the Yetzer Hara, right, wages war against the person spiritually, come the Chachomim and give us the three things. And that's why the Mishnah Taka says, Hey Mom Ru Shloisha Devarim. These three things, as you're going to see, they correspond to the three different ways that the Yetzer Hara comes upon a person. And he says the following. Lazeh Omru, therefore, it says in Pirkei Avos, they said, the Anshei Knesset said Gimel Devarim, they said three things. First of all, they said, make sure that you learn. In other words, because the first thing that he mentioned that the Yetzer Hara tries, don't learn. So for that, therefore the Chachamim said no. Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, which means not only you should not stop learning, but you should learn to the extent that you can teach others as well. That's the first thing. They said, Shetelamdu Batzmeichem Vegamim Talmidim, Vishlo Lishmoya Pituya Yetzer. And not, Bechlal, do not listen. Do not lend an ear to what the Yetzer Hara tries to influence you. Shloi Lilmoid, you should not have a shir, should not learn Torah. And then he says further, what was the second? So the Yetzer Hara is not successful in stopping you from learning. So Reb Chaim mentioned before, so what would the Yetzer Hara try to do? What the Yetzer Hara tries to do is learn without your Shemayim. comes the next thing. So then the Anshei Knesset Gedolah said, Vachyech Omer, Vasus Teyog LeTorah. What is the fence for Torah? The fence for Torah is Yir Shemayim. Seyog, the fence, Rotzeloy Meyirah. In the same way that a fence protects that what's on the inside, your Shemayim protects that a person's Torah should have a kiyum. That's what it means, Asu Siyog L'Torah. From Chaim's interpretation of Siyog means Yir Shemayim. Because the fence of Torah, the fence that will protect the Torah, that's the Yir Shemayim. That corresponds to the second thing that the Yesorim might try to wage war against you. But if he can't stop you from learning, but at least learn without Yir Shemayim. For that they said, Asu Siyog L'Torah. Make sure that your Torah has the protection. And the Siyog, the Oitzer, the gather of Torah, that is Yir Shemayim. He says, as a matter of fact, Filozek Kivnu Chazal, it's to this which really that Chazal really focused when they said Masechta Shabbos. They gave the following moshul. They said, Chaval, imagine, he says, it's pitiful, al the less le daris, imagine a person that has no dira, he has no house, Vitara le daris ovid, and he builds doors. Can you imagine a person, he's building doors, but he has no house? First you have to have a house, and then you can build a door. So what he's trying to say is, so what the Moshe Chazal trying to say is that Yir Shemayim is the Dira, and inside of the Dira is all the treasure, the Torah. Inside of the Dira, right, you have a house, so you have all kinds of silver, gold and silver, all types of treasure. So imagine if a person is going to have Torah but he doesn't have the Dira. It's like somebody putting up doors, but you don't have the dira, you don't have the door, you don't have the house. Koru yira dira. Yira is actually, that's like the dira, that's like the house, right? Ubesoicha, and in the house, gonus, you have hidden away, your kor teferes haTorah. You have the beautiful treasure that you have, in this case, that happened to be the Torah. Lozeh omru. Therefore, Chazal, the Mishnah of Ovi said, Vasu seyog, make sure that the Torah is not a Torah without your Shemayim. Vasus Yog Rosalimer. Rosalimer, he says, Geder Lyoiser, Hain Hayiro, Vedapke Litoiro. Now, Yir Shemayim has to go with Torah. It should not be Yiro without Torah either. Yir Shemayim without Torah without, you have to have both. But Torah should even be more, he says, than the Yiro. Vedapke Litoiro, Shalyeho Oitzerek, because Yir Shemayim is the Yoiser. Imagine you have an Oitzer. So you have a silo, and you have a storage place, but it's empty. Your Shemayim without Torah is like having an Oitzer that's empty. You have Yira without Torah is like having an Oitzer Rav, like you have a great storage, Umahuma boy. Storage which is in turmoil. Veloy Torah. But Rak, make sure that your Oitzer, which is your Shemayim, should be Meloy Mitzvahs Karima, should be filled with mitzvahs like the seeds of a pomegranate, which the Gemara uses to say that refers to even the lowest person, Ayid, has so many mitzvahs. Make sure that you do a lot of mitzvahs. Okay, so having said that, so let's take a look at Rabbi Sadi Sheet, and we'll find out some fascinating things. We have in the second item, Rav Chaim mentioned that a person, even if he learns Torah Shloi Lishma, even though he's not learning Torah on the highest level, nevertheless, Bismoila, learning Torah which is on the left means not on the highest level, Oishu Bikovit, the Torah will give him Ashiris, the Torah will give him wealth, and the Torah will give all the Bracha, and the Torah will give him honor. And what's the Kovit? What kind of Kovit or Kovit HaTorah? The Kovit is Kovit HaTorah. The truth is, of all the various honors that a person is able to receive, the highest badge of honor is if he has the honor of Torah. That means Torah honors him. Torah honors him. Why? Because he's connected to Torah. And that is the Mishnah, as we have here, you see, from, it's in the Sefer Lahoiris Nosen, and the Mishnah Perik Vov, in Perkei Avos, there's Rav Nosen Gishtetner, used to come here many years, used to come, it's a Kohen of Rocha now, and the Mishnah in Avos says, V'ein Kovet Ela Torah. Nothing is considered true honor. Everything else is false. It's imagination. It's a dream. What's true reality? Ein kovod el Torah shenemar. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, kovod chachomim yincholu. Kovod is something that's connected with wisdom. Kovod chachomim, and chachomim is talking about chachomim and Torah. Now, so Pirish Rashi explains, what does it mean? Ein kovod el Torah, ein kovod boi lo liyodom el aliske Torah. So Rashi's interpretation is that a person, in order to receive true honor, is if you have Torah. But if you don't have Torah, then you don't have true honor. So Rav Gishtadner very, very interesting explains. So what about the honor that an Aisha gets? You make him a guest of honor at a dinner, or he's being honored all over the place because he's so wealthy, and therefore people just, they flatter him. So a person has a lot of money also gets a lot of covet. Why is that not called covet? Why is only ain't covet el toira? Why is the true covet only that somebody gets if he has toira? What about the other things? So Rav Gishtadner says very beautifully. He says the following. He says, Yesh lefarish, he says. Ki ha-kovet shenoisim le-osher. Imagine, the kovet that you give to a rich man, bishvil oshroi. Or for example, the kovet that's given to someone who is very strong. Right? Someone who makes the World Book Guinness of Records. Strongest man in the world. The kovet that's given to a gibor. The kovet that's given to an osher. Ein ha-kovet la-smusa shalodom. The kovet is not given to the person, it's given to the wealth, to the money. What's the raya? He loses money if you don't give him kovet anymore. A person who's a giver, the kovet that you give him, you don't give him to as a person. Right? Don't give it to the person, because if he loses his gibura, they don't give it to him anymore. So it's the same thing. So that's why the kovet they give to an usher, that's not really kovet, because they're not giving it to him. They're giving it because of his wealth. They're honoring his money, they're honoring. And he says, "V'horaya, the proof." Shem lemochar yerad oshroi yechdulu melachabdoi. They're going to stop being mechabedim, stop honoring him. The chenim yoivad gevurosoi, or the gibber. If some reason, right, he loses his gevura, his strength. V'yicholash yerad gam kevoidoi. It's covered also. Al mi shem mechabedin oisa b'shul haTorah. Listen, by somebody who gets covered because of Torah. You know why? Because a person learns Torah, he becomes a shtick Torah. A person learns Torah is not just a person who possesses chokhmas haTorah. The Maral says, as he quotes, a person learns Torah, you become a sefer Torah. So then you're being honored. It's like someone who has money, they're honoring the money, they're not honoring you. A person who has Torah, they're honoring you. Why? Because you and the Torah become one. So, mi shemechabde noisa bishul Torah shalom ad hinei akovet ulat smusa shalodom. Kuma shekosa maral mepragzal. The maral says, in Sefer Nesivei Soilom, ki tamud chochom haloi metoiro, nasa hu atzmoi chelik ma toiro. He himself becomes a shtik toiro. He can roi lechabdoi, and therefore he deserves to be honored. Kuma shiroi lechabdoi sa toiro asmois. In the same way that you honor the Torah when you take it out of the Yom Kodesh, Tam Chochem, who possesses Torah, the covet is to him because he's taking Torah himself. He represents Torah himself. And he goes on to show further. Void. Matter of fact, there are situations, you have a Tam Chochem, got a stroke. Loyal and it should never happen. Tam Chochem, great man, God will be Israel, gets a stroke and he forgets his learning. You don't stop honoring him. You don't stop honoring him. Why? Because the Torah that he has is still in him. The fact that he doesn't remember it means is he can't bring it out. But that Torah is still in him. He's still a shtick Torah. That shows that what? That the covet of Torah is not something external, like honoring somebody for his money. That's him. He and the Torah is one. Void. Take a look, another thing. Ki afim yishkach terosoi. The fact is that even if he forgets his learning, but he will not lose his covet. Tam Chochem forgot his learning because of an accident. It's not that he stopped learning, then it's his fault. You stop learning, then you disconnect. Tam Chochem got a stroke, Chazal Shalom. He hit his head somewhere, an accident or something, and he forgot his learning, amnesia, whatever it is. Does not lose his honor. We still honor him the same way as if he still remembered it all. Talmud Chochom, Sheshokach Talmud Eli Onse, Onse means due to an accident of some sort. Ein Noihagim Boy Minik Bezoyin. We don't all of a sudden treat him, right? Treat him lowly. What's the proof? We know Moshe Rabbeinu broke the first Luchais. And then what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the first Luchais and then he carves out a second pair. Guess what? The first pair were not thrown, Chas v'Shalom, in the garbage, but the same Oren where they put the new Luchos, the Shivrei Luchos were side by side next to the Oren that are full, that are complete. They showed the Shivrei Luchos, even broken Luchos, the Talmud Chochem had to be broken. Nevertheless, he's together with the actual luchos. He does not lose his chashivus. Does not lose his importance. The shivre of the luchos and the shivre luchos and the broken luchos were all side by side in the same aroi. Harei, we just see from here. Sheshivre luchos kevoidom umalosom gedoyla. The covet of the shivre luchos and the maila, he says, is just as great like the luchos themselves. Belish shumagras, nothing less. The mummy side by side. It's not put like on another shelf or somewhere. No, they're mamish together. They're mamish together on the same level. Why? So how's that? Personal Torah, he becomes himself a piece of Torah, a shtick Torah. And the mele, for etzem ena mishtane, rakamikra mishtane. You have to forget his learning, the etzem, the mitzi, is the fact. The essence does not change. Circumstances just changed. Be that this person becomes right Torah itself, no change, because he is the Torah himself. You can ask, but what about the fact that he forgot his learning? The fact that if you got his learning, he says, that means it doesn't surface. The Torah that he has, forgetting me means this, he can't surface it. But it's still deep, deep within him. He still is, him and the Torah are still part and parcel. They're still one. Al-Batsmusa bipnimiyusa, in his pnimius, in his inside, lo-hifsid mitarosa klum. Ka-Torah shalom, Torah that you learn, you can never lose. Ka-Torah shalom adi-yef shishitoyvim memeno. Elo, she'ne yocholov le-gilwich. Sometimes you're able to bring it out. He's never sick. He's ill. He's not well. So you can't bring it out. But it's there with him, within his goof, inside is there. Avamilas HaTorah, Nishai Rabbaki Mekedim, that remains as always. V'lachayna, therefore, Chayovim L'chabdoi, we have to be Mechabedim, Keluchos Atzmon. For Mechabedim Tamachokim, even for God is learning, we're Mechabedim like the Luchos themselves. So Mamela, so we understand. The covet that a person, right, receives because of the Torah that he has, that's the true covet. Why? Because that covet never, never stops. Even if God is learning, he is the Torah. But the covet that a person gets because of Ashir is not being mechabed him. Not mechabed him. The mechabed him because what he has. Should he lose that, the normal mechabed him. That's the difference. Another chilik. And this is very interesting. This should be an attitude in business. Another chili between the covet that someone receives because of his ashiris, because of his gevura, to the covet that someone received because of Torah. Why is the covet for Torah yes covet, and the covet for ashiris is not? So the first answer was because the covet that you get for ashiris is not mechabed you, the mechabed the item. But there's another reason also. Void. Ki'oy sheva gevura. A person possesses wealth, possesses strength, or any other maila gashmis, any other physical mailas, right? Any other physical mailas attributes. Heim nesunin meis Hashem yizborach. Asher oisher vagdula vagvura shaloi heima. Know what he's saying? If someone's an oisher, he doesn't deserve COVID. You know why? Because Baruch Hu gave it to him. You did the shtadlus maybe. But that sloch is not a direct result of your shtadlus. You do shtadlus over here and that sloch comes from someplace else. How many times do people see it? Right? People can testify that. The gzeir is, you have to do shtaglis. But the atzlocha is not according, by the way, even according to the amount of shtaglis. What's the riot? You have a person, let's say, he's working 9 to 5, right? And all he makes is barely a living. And then you have people, right, in 3 hours, right? He strikes deals and deals every 3 hours. So he's making less shtaglis, he's more matzliach. The other person's worth doing more shtaglis, he's less matzliach. Guy shines shoes, right, 12 hours a day. So what? So he's doing a lot of ishtadlis. What is he making? And other people working much less. The Teretz is, so oishur and gevura is given to you min hashamayim. So what should give you COVID for? Because Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, wants to give you the ashiris. But the Torah, you only get if you work for it. There's no matona in Torah. So the COVID that you get for Torah, that's COVID that you deserve. You earned that. But the ashiris that you have, we should be mechabed you. You didn't create your Ashiris. Yes, you did Ishtadlis. The Ashiris was given to you by the Shemayim. So why should we be Mechabed you for something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that you didn't do? Why should you get the COVID for? As he goes on to point out. He says, because when it comes to Ashiris and it comes to Gevura, Heim Nisunim Meis Hashem Yisbarach, Asher Oishir Gedula V'Agvura Shaloi Heimo, that's given to him through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vim Kein Ein Mokoim L'Chabed Yis Odom, so there's no room that you're honoring a person because of his Oishir U'Gvura, Ki HaKoil Nitnoloi Min HaShemayim. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Kedushin says, that after doing all the shtadlus, daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have brach in your shtadlus. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara's lashon is the yispale lemisho oisher v'anachosim shaloi. The Gemara's in that Kedushin, go do your shtadlus and then daven at the same time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be matzliach your shtadlus. In other words, it's very clear and it's very evident that the hatzloch in the Ashiris comes min Hashemayim. So what you honor you for? Shabbat decided he wants to give you Ashiris. But Torah that you learn, you earn that. Allah Torah Shalomad, who is Asher, who Atzmoy Sigel Verochash, that himself that he earned and he created, Lefi, only according to the amount of your Yigir. When it comes to learning, you don't get matonis. As much effort, according to the effort that you put in, that's the amount of Torah you're going to have. In other words, Chokhmas HaTorah is a direct result of your toil. Ashiris is not a direct result of your toil. Some people toil a lot and they have little. Some people toil little and they have a lot. But Torah, the Chokhmas HaTorah, is a direct result. If you're miyageya, as much yigir, as much toil, much tircha you put in, time that you put in and effort you put in, according to that, measure for measure, you're going to be masliach, according to the time you put in. So that's the klal. Again, Avla Torah Shalomat Hu Asher Hu Atzmoy Sigel Lefi Yigiyosa, according to your tircha. Ki yogato matzosa tamen. That's what the Gemara says. Yogato means you did the work, you put in the effort. Believe him that what? That he's matzliach. You put in the effort. Velula liyoyosoi. If not for the yegi, if you would not have put in the effort, lo yezoich l'Torah klal, you would not really have a true zchus in Torah. So, if the case of Torah is that the Torah that you possess is a direct result of your efforts. So Torah, you deserve to be honored, because that's something that you have created with your effort. In the case of Torah, loy noa v'loy yoa is beautiful and appropriate. L'chabdoi ki hu atzmoi rochash es haTorah shaloma, because he himself was the one that acquired the Torah. That in fact, that the fact that he learns. Okay, so Kapanim, interesting. So this basically is what Reb Chaim told us. In any case, when we're talking about Limud HaTorah, that one should never belittle if someone's learning Torah Shlo Lishma. First of all, not too many are zoche to learn Torah Lishma on the highest level. But the end result is, hopefully, Mitoch Shlo Lishma, starting out learning Torah, not for the highest goals, but the end result, you'll be learning Torah Lishma, Lishem Shemayim, right? Now, the Ruach Chaim, interesting, in the back of the Ruach Chaim, not all editions have it, it's called Miluim. Miluim are sort of like addendums. So we have here a very interesting thing. We have here number 3. Mitoch Shlo Lishma Bo Lishma. Reb Chaim says, even if you're learning Shlo Lishma, it's very choshev. Mitoch Shlo Lishma, learning Shlo Lishma, eventually you're going to come to learn Torah Lishma, Lishem Shemayim. So learn Torah even if it's Shlo Lishma. So in the Miluim here, in the back of the Sefer, he says the following. The truth is, many times a person learns, he becomes conceited. You know why? People are going to consider me a Talmud Chacham. Maybe they're going to stand up for me in all these kind of situations. These are, of course, not the purest way of learning Torah. Gam tucha ligroim. Many times the learning Torah will cause hisnasis belave. Of course, he becomes a little bit arrogant, he becomes a little bit conceited, he becomes swell-headed. Ma'asher u'oivet oiso yizborach, he says, b'taharas alev. He says, the truth is, he says, there's also another thing, in reverse. He's talking about, many times a person who does reach a high level of Torah Lishma, many times he looks down at the person and says, look, I learned Torah in a pure way. This person next to me, he's learning isn't worth much. It's Torah Lishma. He said, again, Maybe sometimes a person learning Torah Lishma could cause gaiva. Why? Because he's serving Kodesh Baruch with Taharas Alev. He's serving Kodesh Baruch with a pure heart. He's going to be little. He He says to me, look, I daven a long Shemin Esrei. It takes me 10 minutes to daven. This guy davens only 5 minutes. He's going to look down at him. He's going to belittle him. And he says to himself, he can't compare to me. Umekayim kol hakosuv, I mekayim everything b'toras Hashem. In other words, that other person is doing kol hakosuv b'loy dveikus. His avodas Hashem is not really with dveikus. He's not really connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And certainly, v'koshkin kishayira eizish oisik b'toras Hashem. And certainly, sometimes when you see someone learning Torah, the yizbayin and all of, and you. Right, and it's evident. He may look down on him. And died a person just because he's learning Shlomo Shmo. And he goes up to the top. He says, "Call inyan hataharis alev b'avodosoi." The purity of heart, he says, that's a mitzvah. It's a maila. But it's not ma'akim. If you cannot do it that way, any which way you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is acceptable, he says. Purity of heart is a mitzvah, but it's not something that is mandatory. And if you don't do it that way, it's not done. As he points out, and so on. Next line. Anybody who does a mitzvah, in the way that the Torah tells us, even if it's not done in a way that he really connects with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so he doesn't have the full kavana, he doesn't have the perfect connection. Rav Chaim, you see, he looks at the world and he wants to give chizik to every yid. Everything you do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is choshev. A person should not say, who am I? This past Shabbos, with somebody who wants to come in, he comes in, he comes after davening, stands in line. And really, it was like sort of like broken. It's sort of like about tshuva, I'm not sure exactly. It's clear, I mean, when I say about tshuva, I'm not sure how far he came. That's to say, he comes from a different world, and he's certainly trying a lot, and he says, yeah, whatever I'm doing, he says, it's meaningless. So what can be? I see people who have the ability of learning. I see how other people are much more advanced than me. It's very important to give that person a chizik to show him that you do the best you can. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates it. This is what Rebbe Chaim is saying. If you're doing what you're doing, he says, even if it's mechanical, without dveikus, you're an oved elokim, he says. And it's all over the floor. Avada, you should try to grow. You should go higher, you should go higher. Certainly, Shadayin Eino, he's not yet the Madrega Hagavoyo Amitis. He didn't reach the top Madrega. But look at the words. Omnom, Cholila, Cholila. Look at these words, Rebbe Chaim. Cholila, Cholila. Like God forbid, he said, Lavazoisa, I feel a belief. Even to think about it in your heart. Needless to say, you're not allowed to be Mavaz him verbally. Certainly, shouldn't give him verbal abuse. But even your heart, don't look down at him. Adrabe, call Ishi Yisrael Mechuyev Gamlili because even given COVID. He says, Shema Shabbos. He's putting on films. So he's not davening at the highest level. Maybe he's not learning on the highest level if he's learning. Or maybe he's not up to learning. But other things that he does, he's doing chesed. Maybe he's not doing it on the highest level. Give him credit for whatever he's doing. Give him credit for whatever he's doing, he says. And call Ishi Yisrael Mechuyev Gamlili by COVID. This is what he points out. And the truth is, he says, no one is able in one jump, in one leap, to come to the highest level. So you yourself will have to start doing things even shlomo shmo, secondary, for other reasons, he says. Look at the next paragraph. The gam, ki be'emes kemat bilti efsher. It's kemat impossible. Lovoi takeif, right away. Bitchilas kvias lemudo, when you start learning, lemadregis lishmo karoyu. Koheisik betoyu shlomo shmo, because that's how you start. And therefore, Gamhu Ohuv Lefonov Yisborach, because Baruch Hu clearly accepts it, and Ohuv, because Baruch Hu loves your avodah. In the same way, can you jump, he says, from the first floor up to the second floor? You have to go by a ladder. Instead of Hashem, you have to go step by step. So every step, no matter where you are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really appreciates tremendously, and a person therefore should not underestimate any level of Avodas Hashem that he has. It gives a lot of chizik to, certainly in our time, that sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, Avada, we should realize we should never be satisfied. We should hope to do more and more and more. But at the same time, we should not be mavatal, should not nullify what we are doing. Because what we are doing, everything that we do is really very, very choshev. So I want to show you something very quickly. Turn the sheet on the side. And we have a few lines for Baron Kotler. For Baron Kotler, they put out, by the way, by now there is already tens and tens, really volumes of Svarim for Baron, because there is a machon that's called Mishnas Baron. And they have mamish scholars, Talmid Chachamim, they took tapes, and actually they have transcribed tapes from years of Shiurim, and there is from Ksaviat notes of Rabban. You have to have really big Talmid Chachamim, you know, who really are able to produce and to take Rabban's writings, because it was not always written clearly, written very quickly, had a very quick mind, and he just wrote sometimes just notes for himself, and then to transcribe from the tapes. So it's literally volumes and volumes in all areas of Tov Rabban. His true goyness, you have people who you can just see, just it's just endless, it just keeps coming up. And there's also volumes on Musar, Shmusin that he gave, Divrei Chizuk. So this is from the Sefer Mishnas Rabban, Chelik Aleph, Daf Kuf Pei Dalet. We are now, you know, in the parts of building the Mishkan. One thing about the Mishkan was that every nail that was banged into the Mishkan had to be Lishma, Lishem Shemayim. The Mishkan had to be Kuloi pure. It's the house of Hashem. So, Vinei, Mefurish b'toyre b'parshis asiyas ha-mishkan. Mamish, b'yakel, p'kudeh, all the parshis. It's clearly mentioned. K'ho yitzorach leheyoso is hakul b'kavona atzumo l'shem shemayim. That's time. You're building a mishkan, you're building the house of Hashem. You want to bring the Shekhinah down, and that has to be pure, completely pure. U'b'chol asiyas ha-mishkan. By the way, when the Torah breaks down all of the facets of building the Mishkan, in every area it says Kashetziv Hashem es Moshe 18 times. Kashetziv Hashem es Moshe. Why say 18 times? To impress every prat, every chelik of the construction as Hashem commanded Moshe. It was done the Shema. It was done Kashetziv Hashem es Moshe. U'b'chol asiyas ha-mishkan nemar akol prat u'prat. It says Kashetziv Hashem. What does it mean? To the highest level, reaching the highest goal, Kashetziv Hashem. Not only that, the materials that were brought, by the way, is if somebody brought gold to the Mishkan, right? The Lishma aspect did not begin by the building when you brought it from home. Which means when you take the money out of the bank account, that has to be Lishma already from there. The Lishma doesn't start later only when you're forming, you're fashioning Kalim. The Lishma starts by the way ahead, by the Hachone, by the preparation. The Hachone, look what he says. Gam Lekiches Achumrim, taking the material. Taking the material of being Amishkin Vekel, it was also Lishem Shemayim. You had to have in mind, I'm taking and I'm bringing it. It's not being used yet. But you're bringing it, why? The Shem Shemayim, to be able to be used for the Mishkan. That's your Kavonah. Why was it so necessary to be the Shem Shemayim? Because why? Because you want to bring down the Shekhinah. You want to bring down the Kodesh Baruch Hu is supposed to come dwell in this house. So being, it should be evident. When people walk in the Mishkan, you felt the presence of Hashem. You could almost touch. It was tangible. It was palatable. To be able to bring, right, the Shekhinah down in a way that you're able to feel the presence of the Shekhinah, you have to produce a place. You have to produce a mokim. You have to produce a mokim that's appropriate, that the Shekhinah should come in. Haray, so what do you see? That the toiv asiyoson, through the best way of doing it, noitzro was created, ho efsherus lashroes ha-Shekhinah begolui. Fine. So now, Reb Chaim says, and daf reshut, and he says, b'shem the goyim. You know, we build shuls. Shuls are supposed to represent the Mishkan. Shuls are supposed to represent the Beis HaMikdash. In the same way that when it came to building the Mishkan, the Lashem Shemayim started not brick by brick, by making the bricks. By the way, maybe putting the brick, maybe the cement in the cement truck was already Lishma. The Lishma starts way ahead. Said the Vilna Goyen, listen, incredible thing, what he quotes Rabban Kotler, quotes B'Shem the Goyen. Omer HaGro, the Vilna Goyen said, Kitzor Shei Hakob Bekavon Ole Kedusha. Fine, Bekosuf B'Shem HaGro, it is said the name of the Goyen, Shemiyasu HaGarzen Likrisas Ho'etzim Lebinyan Beis HaMikdash L'Shem Shemayim Lo Yispalalu Boy Bekavon Azora. You build a Beis HaKnesses. The walls are made out of wood. Where'd you get the wood from? Well, you took an axe, you chopped down the wood. Where'd you get the axe from? You bought it in the hardware store. Said the Goyin, if you make the axe L'Shem Shemayim, the axe then can be used to cut the wood. So forget about the wood later L'Shem Shemayim. The axe that, if the Lishma starts that early, if the axe that you're going to use to cut the wood, the hatchet, If you make the hatchet itself, l'shem shemayim, so now when you cut wood, you're cutting it with an item that was created, l'shem shemayim, that shul, if you daven, it would be impossible to daven without kavanah. Clearly you daven at the highest level. Because the shul is kula kula b'kedusha. Look what he says again. Let's read the words. Because of b'shem agro, shem yasu hagarzen, if they would make the hatchet, the krisa so aitzem, they cut the wood, the binyan beis knesset, l'shem shemayim, you would make the hatchet l'shem shemayim, well, you spalalu boy b'kavonah, no foreign machshavas. Clearly, you would be enveloped in an atmosphere of kedusha, and you'd only be able to dam b'kavonah. The problem is, we don't have the full Lishmo starting, maybe B'chlamat. And certainly it does not start early enough. If the Achona would be Lishmo, all the way back from the very, very earliest to earliest, anybody who would daven such a shul would be totally, totally connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu with a complete mind in the davening. So let's conclude, Rabbi, something very interesting, just maybe a little vort here. And that is the following. We talked about before, but the Shagisari is saying, go to Volozhin, he says, there we passing like me. The wound in your lung is not a wound. In other words, the Torah determines, right? The Torah determines whether this is a wound or whether this is not a wound. That's true in many, many ways. But this is a very fascinating thing, and this happened not very long ago. And that's what makes it mean so much more interesting, because it's something that it can hit home. We say in the davening, every time we say Shemoneh Esrei during the week, we say three times a day, we say the brachot Rafa'enu Hashem v'nei rofe. Do you ever think, translate the words? The first part is easy. We ask Hashem, Rafa'enu Hashem, Hashem heal us. Rafa'enu Hashem, what's v'nei rofe mean? Again, what's v'nei rofe? There's a number of interpretations. Rafa'enu Hashem. Simple translation means, Rafa'enu Hashem, heal us Hashem, v'nei rofe, and we will be healed. Well, isn't that obvious? If Hashem heals us, we will be healed. Rafa'enu Hashem, Hashem heal us, v'nei rofe, and we will be healed. Why do you have to add that? If you heal us, we will be healed. That's obvious. So what's the v'nei rofe? What does that mean? So there are some who explain that to mean is, Rafa'enu Hashem, Hashem heal us, v'nei rofe means heal us in a way that will be permanent, not temporarily. That's another interpretation. That's what the v'nei rofe has. Rafa'enu Hashem, Hashem heal us, v'nei rofe, we should remain healed. It should not be just a temporary, but rather we should remain healed. There's a third interpretation that says the following, that what Dovra Melech is actually saying, Rafa'enu Hashem, heal us Hashem, and v'nei rofe, and protect us against future illness. Rafa'enu Hashem, from this illness, v'nei rofe, and we should be healed from all other possible illnesses. All right. Whatever interpretation is, they're very, very always timely and very meaningful. So now, there was a somebody that people might know. His name is Reb David Gibber. Happened to be a Magid Shir in Brooklyn. Years ago, he was a Magid Shir in Chassan Sofer, in Shir Chassan Sofer in Brooklyn. Anyway, this Rabbi Gibber davened in a shul in Brooklyn, and there was a yid by the name of Mr. Moshe Stein. Mr. Moshe Stein, who had not been well, and but this Rabbi Gibber did not know the details of why this person is not well. This Mr. Moshe Stein, was a story with him. But one thing he noticed, that he always davened with great intensity. That he noticed, that this Mr. Stein, he davened with great kavanah, he davened with great intensity. So one day Rabbi Gibber went over to him and says, you know what, I'm very inspired by the way that you daven, and it's nice to see how people take tefillah so seriously. So Mr. Stein said, thank you, but I want you to know that although tefillah is invaluable, but he said, but when someone learns Torah, it's the most wonderful thing, and it brings Yeshuas and Nechomis. It's something like Reb Chaim said, you know, davening your Shemayim is very important, but Torah brings Yeshuas and Nechomis. And Rav Gibber knew that there must be something, some hidden story behind it. He's davening with kavanah. Tefillah is very important. It's invaluable. But Torah brings you Yeshuas and Achamas, brings you all types of the things that you need. So he points out and he says the following. He says, Mr. Gibber, he was not well, as mentioned before. So Mr. Gibber, he says, I've been suffering, he said, for a long time with colitis, he says, and ileitis. And he says, get to a point, he said, I needed constant blood transfusions. He was losing blood. I did blood transfusions because the blood count was very low and I was losing so much blood. So he says, a few months ago on a Shabbos morning, He says, as I was davening, you might remember we say in the Lam Natsayach, in the davening, the Shabbos morning davening, we say, Toiras Hashem Temimo Meshivas Nofesh. Let's translate these words. Pasuk in Tehillim, Lam Natsayach. Toiras Hashem, Tehillim Yutes, by the way. Tehillim Kapitel Yutes. Toiras Hashem Temimo, the Torah of Hashem is perfect, Meshivas Nofesh, it restores the soul. Simple translation, without perushim, that's a simple pshat. Torah Hashem Temimo, Hashem's Torah is perfect, Meshivas Nofesh, it restores the soul. So it occurred to me, he said, the Torah restores the soul. There's another pasuk in Devarim, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. Dam is considered the soul. And if it says Torah Hashem Temimo, then the Torah, it restores the soul, it restores the Nefesh. Dam is Nefesh, and I need Dam. And it says, Torah Hashem Temimah, Torah restores the Nefesh. So it says, maybe the Torah will give me my blood back. I started, said, adding extra time to my learning. The last few months, I did not need any more blood transfusions. Torah gave me back. Torah is the Nefesh. Torah is the Meshivas Nefesh. Damu HaNefesh.